Hi, gals and guys. Welcome to Tube Talk. Jersey Bounce, Jimmy Dorsey and the crew from 1942, and I wonder if anybody in the audience has heard this one before. Tell me. Don't be shy.
Hey, Bear, I lost my little pussycat. Will you help me find it?
Of course, of course, of course, of course. Come on, gang, let's call it. Here, pussy, 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 pussy. Where can you be? Come home.
this your cat?
No.
Well, is this your cat?
No. My pussy has no stripes. Besides, it ain't never smelled like that. Call my cat, boys. Call my pussy.
Here, pussy, 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 pussy. Where can you be? Here, pussy, 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 pussy. Come back to me. Here, pussy, 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 pussy. Where do you roam? Here, pussy, 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 pussy. Please come home.
Here, pussy, pussy, light crust doughboys. Listen to this lineup, gang. This is from 1938. Cecil Brower on the fiddle, Kenneth Pitts fiddle vocal, Zeke Campbell electric guitar, Jim Boyd guitar and vocal, Marvin Montgomery banjo and vocals, Naki Parker on the piano, Ramon Damon on bass and vocals. Parker Wilson is the announcer and little kid who's lost his pussycat.
Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off.
you rather be a pig?
A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He has no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude.
But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Oh, would you like to swing on a star? Hairy moonbeams home in a jar. And be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish. Kind of jumped up slippery fish, and all the monkeys are in the zoo.
Every day you meet quite a few,
so you see it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on a star.
Or you could grow up to have a one-hour vintage radio program geared towards the music lover, the antique electronics enthusiast, and the person who still likes to listen to a friendly, pleasant program on the radio like we do here at Tube Talk. So, you know, it's so nice to play some classic music. White Cliffs of Dover, Glenn Miller, Ray Eberly on the vocal, beautiful job. And Mr. Bing Crosby really needs no more comment than... Listen to that nice little piece. Very cute, but a nice swing little beat to it. And, you know, that was the song that saved the church in that there movie. He was always playing that priest. Tube Talk is pleased to welcome tonight to the radio parlor a Boston radio hometown hero, Mr. Ken Meyer. Folks, Ken has done it all. Produced programs, hosted programs, and done work to preserve and celebrate the great radio programming of yesteryear. Ken, thanks for coming on tonight. We appreciate it.
Hey, Paul, it's my pleasure. Anytime I get to talk about radio, I'm going to take advantage of it.
Well, I tell you what, maybe you could give us a sense, the audience here, how did you even get interested when you were young in being on radio? You grew up in Rochester, New York, and there was a station up there that you were a big fan of and kind of inspired you, from what I understand.
Yeah, there was a station, it still is up there, WHAM Radio at 1180 on the dial, and I used to listen to it all the time. And as well as a couple of other stations up there, and was just fascinated with radio, and was able to get friendly with a gentleman who did a sportscast that back in those days lasted 15 minutes.
Wow.
You ain't going to find that anymore.
No, you're going forever.
He became a close friend of mine in the family, and I told him I wanted to get into radio, and he said to me at the time, well, you know, you got a problem because you're going to have to. You got to be able to read. And he said, right now, you know, I don't know whether you'd be able to manage it. Well, he recommended Graham Junior College in Boston, and I went there, and was very lucky in running into a guy who took me under his wing. He was an engineer for WEEI, as a matter of fact, which at that time was all news and talk. It was not sports as it is today.
You know, I remember those days. Jim Pansulo.
Yep.
One of those personalities. Yep.
Jim Pansulo turned out to be a good friend of mine, actually, when I went there to do a radio classics program. But he was an engineer there, and he kind of took me under his wing and spent extra time with me after classes and helped me learn how to run a control board. Back in the days when we actually had to queue up records on the air.
Oh, my.
Without that, I'd have never made it through college. And he, it turned out later on, knew the program director at WBZ Radio and contacted him and through a series of phone calls and lucky breaks. I started working at BZ in 1971 and was there for 14 years.
Wow, you know. And, you know, there was another guy down at school there, I believe, who may be familiar with a lot of our local listeners, the great Fred Cusick, who was the voice of the Boston Bruins for many, many years and did that well up into his later years. And just a great voice and a lot of enthusiasm for the sport. And I guess he helped give you a little boost, too, I guess.
He did. He had a sports class at Graham College. I took it my second year. It was kind of strange because his class was at 8 o'clock in the morning, and that was the only class I had until like 2 in the afternoon. But so help me, every Tuesday morning I got up at 8 o'clock and went to his class and got an A in it, as a matter of fact. And he was a wonderful guy. And in fact, a lady that I worked with at WBZ knew that I had had Cusick as an instructor, and one day when we were celebrating my birthday at the Ramada Inn, which was right next door to BZ, she said to me, "We've got a surprise guest," and it turned out to be Fred Cusick.
Very nice. You know, and it's interesting, too, because, you know, you go back a few years, and, you know, people identify teams with towns now, but in Boston for years, if you were a Bruins fan, you knew it was Bob Wilson on the radio, and Fred Cusick was on Channel 38. The voices of the Bruins, and they were as much as part of those teams as a lot of the great players that we had. So, you know, you wind up over at WBZ, and you got a shot at producing the Larry Glick Show. And, you know, Larry Glick, for those of us in the antique radio community, vintage radio community, especially some of us guys as we were starting to play around with a lot of our tube sets as kids, you know, I mean, there was less clutter on the airwaves back then. And WBZ gets out to 38 great states, and a lot of folks, not necessarily from Boston, remember Larry. It was a great show. It was on overnights, and he was a pal. You know, I mean, he had guests. He played songs. He was a comedian, but he was really a pal. He was there to keep you company at night. So, I mean, that must have been a great place for you to be in radio for a guy who always grew up and wanted to be in radio. What were your duties over there? I mean, you were the chief cook and bottle washer. You did everything but run the show, and some nights you were on the show when Larry overslept one night. I heard you did the whole show.
Yep, that's true. I didn't do the whole show, but I did probably the first hour of it. I was never so scared in my life. But, yeah, I booked all the guests ahead of time before the show, and a lot of times would make calls during the program. Larry would suddenly get an idea. Used to kill me because at 3 o'clock in the morning, he'd get an idea to make an overseas call. And it was funny because no matter how much sleep I got in the daytime, after 2 o'clock, 2:30, I started to fade.
Oh, sure.
And you know, Larry, let's call Muhammad Ali over in Africa. You know, and it's 3:30, and I'd always say to him, "Larry, do you think anybody really cares?" Because the last thing I wanted to do was call Muhammad Ali over in Africa.
I know. Well, you know, you got to get you when you were fresh. Now, you guys were doing midnight to 5 in the morning. So what time would you have to show up to get ready to go on? And then were you out of there right at 5 in the morning? I mean, that sounds like a long shift.
A lot of times I used to come in. When I first started, I used to come in real early. Like, I'd show up at 9 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
But then after a while, it became a little easier because I could book guests ahead of time, and a lot of times I didn't get there until right around the same time Larry did, which was, you know, 11:30. And of course it was in some ways it was nice because BZ Radio, being the home of the Bruins, there were a lot of times when the Bruins were on the West Coast and we didn't go on the air until 1 or 1:30 in the morning. So I was able to stay home and either listen to the Bruins or get a couple more hours sleep.
Sure, get a little head start on catching up on the Z's before you went over to do the broadcast. Yeah,
exactly. And you mentioned Bob Wilson. I got to tell you, he is still a friend of mine. I talk to him every once in a while. With all due respect to Dave Gosher, who does the Bruins now and does a terrific job, but there was nobody like Bob Wilson. I always used to tell Bob, when he was on the air, television didn't exist. And he told me a story once. He said, you know, after I retired, he said, there were three people, only three people that called me. And he said they were Bobby Orr, Cam Neely, and you.
Now, that's good company.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
No, so here's a Bob Wilson thing for you, and this will show you what you do remember. I mean, I may not remember where I need to be later tonight or what I had for breakfast, but here's my best Bob Wilson. South Boston Savings Bank, always the leader.
Yep.
Now, you know, it's funny how things stick in your head, and it gives you an idea, you know, just how much of a part of the fabric of, you know, growing up some of these guys were, especially on the sports broadcasts, if you're a big fan. But radio in general was like that. People woke up in the morning over at BZ with Carl D'Souza and the morning program, or maybe Jess Kane. I know he was over at the competitive station. But these were people's, they had relationships. It wasn't necessarily over-homogenized corporate talkers, the same items, the same topics, the same programs on in all the different cities. There was a very local flavor. It must have been a real fun thing to be part of.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. I used to have to wake Carl up every morning. And I used to get a kick out of it because when Carl answered the phone, he always sounded like he was never going to make it.
Yeah.
You know, he'd pick up the phone and he'd say, hello. And I'd, of course, hi, Carl, guess who this is? And, oh, hello, Kenny, how are you, old boy? But, man, when that mic went on, there was nobody better in the morning than Carl D'Souza.
And he was on there for an awful long time. And now, was it true that you and he retired on the same date from BZ?
We left BZ on the same day, yep.
Interesting.
It was in November of 1985, and I think it was November 1st. I did a couple of minutes with Peter Mead at 6 o'clock at night, and then went, as they say, across the street to WEEI, and 2 hours later was on the air doing Radio Classics.
Doing your own show. Now, just out of curiosity, I mean, you lined up an awful lot of interesting interviews, and, you know, again, you know, I remember the Bob Wilson shtick, but I also remember, people from the Larry Glick Show, okay? Now,
yep.
This is going back a few years. Charlie DiGiovanni, the cab driver.
Yep. Charlie used to pick me up at the airport when I would come in from Rochester.
Paul Tavilla and Mike Weir. I lived in Dedham, so I knew Sergeant John Conley. You know, I knew some of the Dedham police. And, you know, what is it that just ingrains this stuff in people's minds? And I think what it comes down to is it was fun to listen to. You had a relationship with the broadcaster. It became part of your routine. It was as normal as getting up in the morning, and the first thing you do is you have a cup of coffee, and you have your toast, and you would listen to your pal on the radio. You'd get ready. You'd go out to work. You'd come home, the same routine. You'd catch the news, and if you're going to sit down and you were a radio guy at night, you'd tune into the radio, and again, you would get the same cast of characters, catch up. It was like catching up with old friends in your own house. It was a great thing.
Yep, BZ Radio back in those days really was the tops. Not to downgrade other radio stations because they all had their own personalities as well. But with BZ, you had a news block from either 5 to 6, or after I got there, it was from 4 to 6. And then you had Guy Manilla with Calling All Sports, Jerry Williams from 8 to midnight, and Glick from midnight to 5.
You mentioned Muhammad Ali. What was one of the oddest interview requests that Larry gave you that you were able to pull off? Anything in particular come to mind? Something that was a toughie?
Oh, not really a toughie.
Because you were so good at doing them, I don't really know how you could get a toughie. But, I mean, some people might have been harder to get a hold of than others. I mean, today, it's impossible to get anybody on the phone between phone mails and dialing systems, press 1, press 2, press 3, but you managed to have a knack for getting, you know, right to the person he wanted to talk to and convincing them the best thing they can do is talk on WBZ radio.
I don't know if anyone was particularly tough, but I tell you one that I remember that I wanted Larry to do, and at first he didn't want to do it, and then he changed his mind. I forgot his first name, Kempeler, I think, was his last name. It was the gentleman that played Colonel Klink.
Oh, Werner Klemperer.
That's it. On Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah. Colonel Klink.
Was in town, and we got some stuff on him, and I said, Larry, let's have him on the air. He'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't want him. But Larry, he'd be terrific. So the next day, in the afternoon, he calls me up, and he says, hey, do you think we can get this guy? And I said, Larry, I've been trying to talk you into doing it. And he said, I watched him on the Good Day Show this morning on Channel 5, and he was terrific. So I said, okay. So luckily, we were able to get him, and it was a great thrill for me because I, like so many people, watched Hogan's Heroes and was a big fan of the show and was a big fan of his, and we had him in the studio for a couple of hours, and he was great. I'll tell you another one that Larry – I'll tell you one that was kind of tough was Lowell Thomas. the newscaster who was still alive, and Larry wanted to get him. I don't remember now how we got him, but we did get him. We had to tape the interview in advance because Lowell Thomas didn't want to stay up at midnight
and
do it at 1 o'clock in the, or 1 o'clock in the morning. And to get Larry to come in the, to the studio in the daytime to tape an interview, man, that was a feat in itself because he didn't like doing that. But he did it for Lowell Thomas, and actually he did it for Johnny Cash as well, because we had a chance to get Cash, and he was over in Israel at the time, and we were able to get him and track him down and get him on the air. But again, we had to tape it in advance, and Larry never thought about it, but it was a great break for him because, you know, he was on the air for 5 hours, and this was a good break, you know, a 10, 20, 25-minute break. But, you know, there were times when things went wrong. We had set up in advance a taped interview with William Friedkin, the man who directed French Connection and The Exorcist. So we agreed to tape the interview in advance, and he called us and said, look, I can't do it. He said, you know, I've had a lot of threats and everything else. And I'm sorry, he had agreed to do it live. I take that back. He'd agreed to do it live. And we put ads in the paper. The company who had recorded the theme song to the movie had bought commercial time on the air to play during the program. And Friedkin said, look, I can't do it. I can't do it live. You're going to have to tape it in advance. So at the last minute, I got a guy named Nat Sigaloff, who was head of the SAC Theaters, to come on the air and talk about the movie. So we eventually got Friedkin on the air, but we had to do it under his terms and tape it in advance. But it was still a good interview because talking about The Exorcist was terrific. And, of course, Larry was a big fan of The French Connection with Gene Hackman.
Well, that was a super movie.
It was a super movie, and Friedkin turned out to be a super guest.
Yeah, you know, and it just goes to show you, you got to think on your feet and be flexible in the world of radio. You never know what's going to come up. And that, you know, it changes your whole life. I mean, for you guys, it must have been a unique thing. I mean, most people are up during the day, you know, and they do their regular routine. They turn in at night, but your whole body clock has to get synced up, and you become nocturnal, you know. So, I mean, you guys were the, you know, things would happen during the day. You'd have to catch up when you got up.
Yep, it was. But it was, listen, it was a lot of fun. I don't know if I'd do it now, but it sure a lot of fun back then. Larry Glick was a unique personality. He was one in a million and one of a kind, and I would love to hear that kind of humor again on the air. He was just a legend, and he made me into a personality, and I'll always be grateful to him for that.
Well, you know, we're going to hit the pause button here for a little bit and remind everybody, this is Tube Talk. I'm your host, Paul Burish. Our guest this week is Ken Meyer, who has done it all and seen a lot in the radio world. Now, Ken, you were involved in some programs with Old Time Radio on WEEI, and you hosted a show over there called Radio Classics. What gave you the idea to put that together? I mean, because that was fun. I remember listening to that as a kid, and you had some great old shows on, and radio was somewhat kind of making a comeback, drama radio. I mean, there was CBS Mystery Theater was happening around that time, and here you show up, and that was a great program. I enjoyed that.
Well, believe it or not, it was not my idea. Radio Classics was a program that, believe it or not, was syndicated and was being done by WCAU in Philadelphia and a couple of other major radio stations across the country. And there were syndicators that were selling the radio broadcasts. They had bought the rights to some of these things and were selling them to the radio station.
I see.
And so EEI was auditioning various hosts. They had different people that were doing the show in the beginning because they didn't have a host. And it came down to myself and a guy you may have heard of named Norm Nathan.
Yep. He was another overnight guy on BZ for many, many years. Yep.
And for whatever reason, and I thank God for it, WEEI picked me. And I did the show for a good 5 or 6 years and had a ball doing it. Luckily, there were still a bunch of radio people around. We were able to get, people like Art Linkletter, Parley Bear, who was Chester, of course, and Gunsmoke. It's hard for me to remember now who all we did. We had Kenny Delmar, who was the announcer for Fred Allen. It's hard. I can't remember all the guests that we did have.
Mm-hmm. Your timing was great, though, because, you know, for those guys to have another shot at, you know, helping to educate people as to what they did and how they did it, and then for you to play those real shows, I mean, that was a treat. And I know people in the greater Boston area really enjoyed that. I was young, and I liked that almost as much as a novelty. But the more I got interested in it, some of those shows were pretty creative and interestingly done. Lots of different sound effects and conventions they would use in writing the scripts, so you'd have to envision things in your head. And that was a very different world for somebody who was, you know, I was a pretty much a TV kid and listened to sports and music on the radio. But that was a great little window to look into that whole different world. And those guys must have loved been able to pass a little of them their work on to the next generation.
Yeah, I'll tell you another guy we had was George Fenneman, who was the announcer for Groucho Marx, and also the gentleman who always said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to hear is true."
That's right.
And, of course, he had a lot of great stories about Jack Webb. When I was at BZ and we celebrated our 50th anniversary with Jerry Williams, and later on when I was able to get on the air, we had people like Hal Perry, who was the great Gildersleeve. We were lucky enough to get a Bob Hope, a Kenny Delmar, and Art Linkletter, whom we had both on BZ, and I was able to get when we were at WEEI, Milton Berle, who had his radio program on radio, Robert Q. Lewis, who had a radio show, Tony Marvin, who used to be an announcer for a fellow named Arthur Godfrey. All kinds of great radio people. Julie Stevens, who was Helen Trent. Vivian Smolin, who was our gal Sunday. These people were so, so accommodating and so nice to talk to. And a great pleasure to even meet when I had the chance to do that. And it was just a great time to be around. It was, as Jerry Williams used to say, a great ride. And I couldn't have been happier, man. I'll talk about somebody who was on Cloud 9. I think I was on Cloud 15.
For a little kid from Rochester who wanted to be on the radio, things certainly worked out well. Now, you know, the other thing, you were involved in some live recreations of radio programs from the days of yore, and that was very interesting as well. And you guys were getting good audiences for that, from what I understand.
We did. We did it for 20 years at Massasoit Community College in Brockton. There was a guy there named Bob Bowers who was a big fan of old-time radio. He got friendly with a lady named Peg Lynch, who was Ethel in the old Ethel and Albert radio and TV broadcast, and was also, that they also redid it later, but called it The Couple Next Door. But that's how Radio Classics was born. They talked about it and decided to do it, and they asked me if I would be the master of ceremonies for it, and I agreed to do it. And we eventually got Fred Foy, who was the announcer for the Lone Ranger, to be involved in it.
No, that's a treat.
Oh, trust me. It
what a
was
voice.
A treat. Exactly. In fact, I'll tell you a story. I got to meet Fred Foy through his daughter, believe it or not. I was talking very casually on the air one night at BZ, and just casually, somebody said to me, if you had your chance to do something that you always wanted to do, what would it be? And I said, well, I'll tell you, I would love to interview some great voices, like people like Ed McMahon, and I casually said, and one who I've always wanted to talk to was Fred Foy, who was the announcer on the Lone Ranger. So a few days later, I'm in the radio station, and this lady calls and said, are you the gentleman that wanted to interview Fred Foy? And I said, yes. And she said, well, this is Wendy, and I'm his daughter. And Fred is coming up to Boston to celebrate Father's Day weekend. Would you like me to bring him by the station?
Well, you talk about a tailor-made opportunity. That's you ought to go buy a lottery ticket when something like that happens.
Absolutely. And she brought him in. I interviewed him for an hour. We put the interview on the air. When I applied for the job at EEI, I submitted that tape as an audition tape. The general manager called me and said, you got the job. You knew more about Fred Foy than he did. And he says, you know, you're hired. So when the Massasoit thing got started, I called Fred and said, look, would you like to be involved in this thing?
Sure.
And he was the announcer for a lot of the shows, and of course it was always a treat to get him to do that Lone Ranger opening live, and it was a terrific thing to be able to do and be able to listen to, and it was a highlight and a memory of my life.
And the crowd must have loved that, you know. And
absolutely, not only the crowd in the audience but on stage as well.
Now you even got to play Tonto one night, right?
I did. I got a standing ovation. I think it was because of the feather that I had and the hat that I wore.
Very good indeed. You know, and you ought to write your book. You know, that's all I can say. You know, so it really experienced a lot from not only the production and, you know, some of the great personalities, but also meeting all these great classic radio artists and getting a chance to play some of their programs again, too, on the show. Ken Meyer, you are a radio renaissance man, and thanks an awful lot for being on Tube Talk and sharing a little bit of your career and some of the great folks you've met and some of the great experiences you've had in radio. It's been a treat to have you on. We appreciate your time.
Hey, I appreciate it, too. It was a great thrill, and I'll be happy to come back with you anytime.
Thanks a lot, Kenny. You take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Boggs Boogie, Spade Cooley, the king of Western Swing and his band. That was recorded in the luxurious RCA Studios, Hollywood, California, 1947. Pretty nifty.
Oh, buttermilk sky, I'm a-keeping my eye peeled on you. What's a good word tonight? Are you gonna be mellow tonight? Oh, buttermilk sky, can't you see my little donkey and me? We're as happy as a Christmas tree, heading for the one I love. I'm gonna pop her the question, that question. Do you, darling, do you do? It'll be easy, so easy, if I can only bank on you. Oh, buttermilk sky, I'm a-telling you why. Keep it in mind tonight. Keep a-brushing those clouds from sight. Oh, buttermilk sky, don't you fail me when I'm needing you most. hang a moon above her hitching post. Hitch me to the one I love. Pop her the question, that question. Do you, darling, do you do? It'll be easy, so easy. If I can only bank on you, oh, buttermilk sky. I'm telling you why, now you know. Keep it in mind tonight. Keep a brushing those clouds from sight. Oh, buttermilk sky. Don't you fail me when I'm needing you most. Hang a moon above her hitching post. Hitch me to the one I love. You can if you try. Don't tell me no lie. Will you be mellow and bright tonight? Oh, buttermilk sky.
Fletcher Henderson with one of my favorites, Talk of the Town. And Ken Meyer was Talk of the Town tonight here on Tube Talk. Thank you so much for sharing your life in radio with the audience here tonight. you know, he was a man who remembers and got to meet some of those great radio personalities. And, you know, going back to the day when radio was really king, and he worked up here in Boston with a lot of great folks when radio was a lot more personal and relevant and personality driven and locally driven. And that's what really attached people to it. You know, I remember grandmas and grandpas and old timers, people who couldn't sleep at night would tune into the Larry Glick Show, listen to Kenny and Larry, and they'd learn a little something different about the world going on around them. Maybe it was an obscure guest, something interesting, something you wouldn't hear all the time, something about hypnotism. But, you know, it was something different. And people felt very loyal to those types of personalities, where it's a treat to still have somebody around we can chat with about those great days. This is Tube Talk. If you'd like to chat with us, TubeTalk1@gmail.com will get you in touch with the show. You can check us out at TubeTalkClassicRadioShow.org. And it's almost time to wind down tonight, folks. Thanks for listening. Tell all your friends. Remember, tune into Tube Talk each and every Friday night, 10 p.m., WRCA Radio, 1330 a.m., and on their website. It's as easy as that.
Hold that tiger, 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 hold that tiger. Where's that tiger? Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. 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 Here's that tiger.
Hold that tiger, 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 hold that tiger. Where's that tiger? Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. No, 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 no. Hold that tiger.
Chased the weasel. The monkey thought 'twas all in fun. Pop goes the weasel. I've no time to wait or sigh, no patience to wait till by and by. Kiss me quick, I'm off, goodbye. Pop goes the weasel. Chased the weasel, oh weasel. Monkey laughed and laughed and laughed and thought it was all in fun, oh weasel. I've no time to wait or sigh, no time to wait till by and by. Kiss me quick, I'm off, goodbye. Up goes the weasel. All in fun, so pop, pop goes the weasel. I've no time to wait or sigh, no time to wait till by and by. Kiss me quick, I'm off, goodbye. Pop goes the weasel. Pop, pop, pop goes the weasel. Pop, pop, pop goes the weasel. Pop goes the weasel.
Wish I may, wish I might have this wish I wish tonight.
Kids, we hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Tune in next week for another exciting episode of Tube Talk. Bye-bye.
He made the night a little brighter wherever he would go. His snowy hair was so much whiter beneath the candle glow. The old lamplighter of long, long ago. You'd hear the patter of his feet as he came toddling down the street. His smile would hide a lonely heart, you see. If there were sweethearts in the park, he'd pass a lamp and leave it dark, remembering the days that used to be. For he recalls when dreams were new, he loved someone who loved him too, who walks with him alone in memory. He made the night a little brighter wherever he would go. If you look up at the sky, you'll understand the reason why the little stars at night are all aglow. He turns them on when night is here. He turns them off when dawn is near. The little man we loved of long ago.
Hey gang, stay tuned. Rockin' at Night with Peter Scheinfeld is coming up next.